The day wore on. Various Clachian officials and some of the Ankh-Morpork people were summoned to the tent. Vimes wandered close to it a few times and heard the sound of voices raised in dispute. Meanwhile, the armies dug in. Someone had already erected a crude signpost, its arms pointing to various soldiers' homes. Since these were all in part of Ankh-Morpork, the arms all pointed exactly the same way. He found most of the watch sitting out of the wind, while a wizened Clachian woman cooked quite a complicated meal over a small fire. They all seemed to be fully alive, with the usual slight question mark in the case of Red Shoe.
"Where have you been, Sergeant Colon?" said Vimes.
"Been sworn to secrecy about that, sir, by his lordship."
"Right." Vimes didn't press the point. Getting information out of Colon was like getting water out of a flannel. It could wait.
"And Nobby?"
"Right here, sir."
The wizened woman saluted in a clash of bangles.
"That's you?"
"Yes, sir. Doing the dirty work as per the woman's role in life, sir, despite the fact that there is less senior watchman present, sir."
"Now then, Nobby," said Colon, "Cheery can't cook. We can't let Reg do it because bits fall into the pan, and Angua..."
"Doesn't do cookery," said Angua.
She was lying back on a rock with her eyes closed. The rock was the slumbering shape of Detritus.
"Anyway, you just started doing the cooking like you was expecting to have to do it," said Colon.
"Kebab, sir," said Nobby. "There's plenty."
"You certainly got a lot of food from somewhere," said Vimes.
"Clachian quartermaster, sir," said Nobby, grinning beneath his veil. "Used my sexual wiles on him, sir."
Vimes's kebab stopped halfway to his mouth and dripped lamb fat on his legs. He saw Angua's eyes slam open and stare in horror at the sky.
"I told him I'd take my clothes off and scream if he didn't give me some grub, sir."
"That'd scare the daylights out of me, sure enough," said Vimes.
He saw Angua breathe out again.
"Yeah, I reckon if I played my cards right, I could be one of them fatal femmies," said Nobby. "I've only got a wink at a man and he runs a mile. Could be useful, that." "I told him he could change back into his uniform, but he says he feels more comfortable like this,"
whispered Colon to Vimes.
"I'm getting a bit worried, to tell you the truth."
"I can't handle this," Vimes thought. "This isn't in the Book of Rules." How could I explain this?" he began.
"I don't want any of them innuendos," said Nobby. "It's a good idea to walk a mile in someone else's shoes. That's all I'm saying."
"Well, so long as it's just shoe..."
"I've just been getting in touch with my softer side, all right? Seeing the other man's point of view, sort of thing. Even if he is a woman."
He looked at their faces and waved his hands vaguely.
"All right, all right. I'll put my uniform on after I've tied it up around a camp. Will that make you all happy?"
"Something smells nice." Carrot ran up, bouncing his football. He'd stripped to his waist. The whistle bounced on its string around his neck.
"I've declared half-time," he said, sitting down, "so I've sent some of the lads into Gebra to get 4,000 oranges. Shortly, the combined Ankh-Morpork regimental bands will put on a display of countermarching while playing a selection of military favourites."
"Have they practised countermarching?" said Angua.
"I don't think so."
"Should be good, then."
"Carrot," said Vimes, "I don't wish to pry, but how in the middle of a desert did you find a football?"
And the voice in the back of his mind insisted, "You heard him die, you heard them all die, somewhere else."
"Oh, these days I carry a deflated one in my pack, sir. A very pacifying object, a football. Are you all right, sir?"
"Eh? What? Oh, yes, just a bit, tired. So, who's winning?"
Vimes patted his pockets and found his last cigar.
"It's broadly speaking a tie, sir. I had to send 473 men off, though. Clatch is now well ahead on fouls, I'm sorry to say."
"Sport as a substitute for war, eh?" said Vimes.
He rootled in the ashes of Nobby's fire and pulled out a half-consumed... well, it helps to think of it as a desert coal. Carrot gave him a solemn look.
"Yes, sir. No one's using weapons. And have you noticed how the Clatchian army is getting smaller? Some of the chiefs from distant parts are taking their men away. They say there's no point in staying if there's not going to be a war. I don't think they really wanted to be here in any case, to tell you the truth. And I don't think it's going to be easy to get them to come back."